Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. And one more time for the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord, Bridgeway. We are in our final installment of a three-week series called Power, where we've been talking about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Today's talk is entitled The Spirit's Filling. That was last week, rather. And then before that, the Spirit's pouring. But today we're going to talk about the Spirit's interceding on our behalf or the Spirit's praying for us. Now, before we get into that, let me just review. Last week when we talked about the Spirit's filling, we said that the Holy Spirit is not there to bust you, but to better you. He's not there to hang you out to dry, but to help you. And that the Holy Spirit wants to get more of you, not that you need to get more of him. And the bottom line regarding the filling of the Holy Spirit was you and I surrendering to him. Prior to that, when we talked about the Spirit's pouring, we said that the Spirit of God pours out on our offspring and on our offerings. We also learned that God not only pours out on people, but he pours out on seasons, and that we're in a time when the Holy Spirit is pouring out on the season of the church, and specifically even in our lives today, and according to Joel, pouring out his Spirit on men and women, on sons and daughters, on the young and on the old. How many of you have enjoyed this series so far on the Holy Spirit? My prayer is that as you go back and look at the sermons and as you begin to engage the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit will begin to move in you. And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how he prays for us, so we're not done yet. We're going to talk about the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the language of the Holy Spirit, how he prays for us and with us. But before I get started and before we pray for today's sermon, I want to take you back to a time when a woman in our church gave a testimony on video. Her name is Tekla, and some of you may remember Miss Tekla when she talked about giving her first fruits offering and what God did for her and in her at the time. Well, we have her live today, and her testimony continues to grow. So, Miss Tekla Tawanezvi, I ask you to come up on the stage, and those in the house, give her a hand for being here today, a good sister in the Lord, a friend, a corporate executive. And today, Tekla, you know, I know how God has just used you. I also know how he has worked in you. But for those who didn't see the original testimony of giving your first fruits offering at the beginning of the year, remind us what happened.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, as Pastor said, after I gave my first offering, I was just, a few days later, I went to the mail and I found a check from my mortgage company. I had not realized that I had been overpaying in my escrow account. So it was a refund check for what I had overpaid. And in addition to that, they lowered my mortgage payment for the rest of my note by a considerable amount of money. So God not only gave me that one check, but for the rest of my note on my mortgage, it was lowered. Praise the Lord.
Amen to that. Praise God for that. So I'm sure some of y'all could use that testimony in your own life. It's coming your way. We talked about how God just provides for us unexpectedly, not only through checks, but he was providing something unexpectedly, not just in the area of finances, but also in the area of your body. Tell us that.
So back in October, November, when Pastor was starting the sermon and I was at home, and I got a phone call from my nephew and my niece. They live in South Africa, so they called me. They had gone for this conference in South Africa, and at that conference, there was a man of God that they don't know. They've never met this man before, and my niece is one of those people. For those of you that are from Africa, you know, there's all kinds of prophets. They call them Papa, they call them whatever, but there's a lot of them there. So my niece had gone to one of those conferences, and there was a man of God, and she was called out of a big crowd, and she was a little bit skeptical at first, and the man of God called her up on stage and asked her, "Who is Tekla?" And she was like, that's my aunt, and she lives in the United States. And he says, please call her and tell her God tells me she has cancer and she needs to go get checked. So she called me that afternoon, and I was preparing for my birthday party, and I just shoved it off on the side. And I called Pastor Anderson, and I told him, I said, hey, this man of God said this about my health, but I'll take care of it later, because I was preparing to go on vacation to Jamaica, so I wanted to just push that aside and enjoy. And when I came back, I went to the doctor, and sure enough, how do you tell the doctor there was a man of God that was in Africa and they told me I have cancer? I mean, it's, so I had to make up something that would be convincing for them to test me. So I said I was in Africa and I did a blood test, and the blood test showed that I have cancer. And my doctor's like, where? I said, I don't know. Let's just start looking for it everywhere. So I went to my gynecologist, the same story. So they sent me through for an ultrasound. And the ultrasound showed I had a tumor in my ovary. So I went for MRI, and then I went for blood test, and sure enough, I had ovarian cancer.
And didn't you already have a physical? Like, didn't you already do your yearly physical already?
Absolutely. I've been going for my physicals. I do my annuals, and nothing was caught on there. And I'm very diligent as far as my health is concerned. So I thought I got it covered. I'd do my mammograms like everybody should do over 40. And so I had done that. Mm. So I go for the ultrasound, and they catch this tumor in my ovary. And then they went through blood tests, CA19, CA19-9, whatever cancer test that they could. And they came back positive. And that's when I went on my own search, my Google search. And then I thought, okay, God, I'm dying and all that and stuff. And that's when I reached out to, it was a couple of people, Dr. Anderson and another woman of God. She's a missionary in Africa. And I told them the story. I said, can you pray for me? And so they've been praying and praying. And a couple months ago, I went through surgery, and they managed to take everything out. I'm cancer-free, and praise the Lord. And it was through the interceding of the people of God. Like the Bible says, the fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much, and that's my testimony. It did avail much, just reaching out to the people. In Africa, we have a saying that says, you pray for me and I'll pray for you, because sometimes the burden is so heavy for me. So times when you can't pray for yourself, and that was one of the time for me. I couldn't pray. I was in my head, sometimes you just slip into this mode of thinking, probably this is it. I need to set my life in order. This is the end of it. But God intervened through the intercession of his people.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. So you had already gotten your physical. You probably wouldn't have gone back to the doctor for another year. But because of this word that came from God through a prophet man, through your, I guess, niece to you, that made you go in to the doctor to discover it at an early enough stage that it's taken out.
Amen. And this man of God, this prophet, my niece had never seen her. I've been looking for him. I'm actually going to Africa next month to look for him. But he's not one of the fake ones. He's real. And so God still shows up and shows out. He still uses prophets to this day. So I was one that was a little skeptical because there's too many fake ones. But God is there. He's using, he's working through his prophets to this day. Amen.
Wow. Amen. And so praise God for that. So when you gave that first fruits offering, God was not only working in the area of wealth, but he was working in the area of health. And you tie this all back to that act of obedience.
Absolutely. He says, honor the Lord with the first fruits. And I did. I honored the first with my first fruits. And he says, your barns will be overflowing. And he also says, you will take care of your health, and your bones and your health will be filled with nourishment. And I'm a living testimony of this, because obedience is better than sacrifice. It could have been another story. As many of you know, ovarian cancer is only caught when its symptoms start coming up when it's too late. But this one was very early stage, and they managed to catch it, and only God could have done that.
Amen to that. Praise God. Well, we're just so thankful that you're willing to share your testimony and give God glory. And, you know, one of the corporations that I know that you work for is the Hyatt Corporation. And one of the things I found out from talking to several people in that corporation is you're not shy about your relationship with God. and you're not shy about giving him glory even in the marketplace. And that may be a word for someone who may be a little bit shy. When you give God the glory, that ripples throughout the marketplace as well. So thank you for being a light even in the world where you serve. Speaking of serving, would you serve me now by praying for the message and praying for those that are going to receive it before we let you go?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we come before you this morning. Lord God, you are Jehovah, our healer. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord, today, this morning, Father God, we are waiting to receive what you have for us through the man of God. Father, we are waiting for that healing power for those that are burdened, Father God, with sickness in their bodies. Father, let this word come through that will save lives,
yes,
and heal bodies and save souls, Father God, for your name's sake and for your glory. Mm. Father, we thank you, Father God. Use your man. Father, pour your anointing upon this place right now, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit flow down on us right now. Let the fire of the Spirit touch each and everybody right now, Father God, that your name will be glorified in the heavens and in the earth. We thank you, Father God, for this time. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Put your hands together in the house and at home for Miss Tekla Tawanezvi. Thank you so much for that. And someone needs God to work in their health and in their life, just like he did in hers. And maybe at the end, when we say a prayer, we can pray for all of you with regard to your health. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you have a copy of the scriptures, I invite you to go there with me. And you may remember last week, I looked at verse 3, and it said that no one who has the Spirit of God can say, Jesus be cursed. It goes on to say, and no one can say Jesus is Lord, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. That was 1 Corinthians 12:3. What I want to look at now is verses 4, 5, and 6. And I want you to put your thinking caps on with me because we're going to do a little bit of observation. Let me read what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4, 5, and 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now look at this passage again and tell me, what do you observe? Let me read it again and tell me if something pops out to you. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same what? Spirit. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same what? Lord. In verse 6, there are different kinds of workings, but the same what? God works all of them in all men. Did you see something in these three verses? What do you see? Put it in the chat. Do you notice the triune God? Do you notice the Trinity there? Verse 4, the same Spirit. Verse 5, the same Lord. In verse 6, the same God. Do you see the Trinity there? Now, when we talk about the Trinity or the triune God, how do we normally say it? We say what? God the Father. Come on, God the, and God the what? Holy Spirit. But do you notice that in this passage, it doesn't say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? The triune God that is listed in these verses puts the Holy Spirit in the lead position. Why? Well, what is 1 Corinthians 12 all about? That passage, when you read it, is all about spiritual gifts, the diversity of spiritual gifts, as well as people from different colors, classes, and cultures. In fact, when you get down to verse 12, it talks about one body having multiple members. We're one body, but we have many different parts. It also says whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, regardless of culture, regardless of class, we're all the church. And in the church, while we're one body, there are many different parts with so many different gifts. So this whole passage in its context is about spiritual gifts and diversity within the body of Christ. But the point that Paul, the writer, is making is that this diverse body of people who have the diversity of all these gifts and abilities and talents need the Holy Spirit to be in charge. And the point is that people from different colors and cultures and classes and countries, they need the Holy Spirit to be in charge. Because you can't have a diverse church with people who are black and white and Asian and Hispanic and Latino and Pakistani and Indian and Democrats and Republicans and Baptists and Catholics. You can't have all those people in the church of Jesus Christ without the Holy Spirit being in charge. Because if the Holy Spirit's leadership is not in charge, guess what's going to happen? We're going to kill each other. We're going to think we're better than the other. We're going to always wonder why our particular preferences aren't front and center. You can't have that kind of diversity working in unity unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit in leadership. Otherwise, people will put their agendas and their cultures and their gifts in front of everybody else's. But when the Holy Spirit is in leadership, he tamps down those fleshly proclivities of jealousy, superiority, and cultural arrogance. We get to celebrate each other's uniquenesses and each other's gifts and each other's cultural backgrounds. And yet, when you look at the scripture all throughout the Bible, when you see the triune God, you always see him as God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, we land on chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, and it's Spirit, Son, who's always in the second position, and the Father. So here's a question. Is there anywhere else in the Bible that we ever see the Holy Spirit taking charge? Is there any other place in the Bible where we see the triune God inverted? God the Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. Any other place? Well, believe it or not, only one other place. And I'm going to ask you to turn there, and it's Ephesians chapter 4. Paul is the writer there as well. And check this out. It's the exact same verses. Verse 4, 5, and 6. So again, with your thinking caps on, I need you to go there with me and let's read it together and tell me if you see what we're talking about. Paul says, there is one body and one what? Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Verse 5, one what? Lord, one faith, one baptism. In verse 6, and one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Did you see it? Verse 4, God the Spirit. Verse 5, God the Son. And verse 6, God the Father of all. The triune God is inverted yet again. And what is common between these two passages? The only two places in all of Scripture where the Holy Spirit is taking the lead when it's mentioning the triune God, and that is this. In both of the passages, they talk about the diversity of gifts and the offices within the body of Christ, the church. Follow me here. These only two places in the Bible that mention the Trinity, put them in this order. And when that happens, it happens both times in the context of the diversity of the body. And yet there's a unity that comes. In fact, it says in verse 3 of Ephesians 4, maintain the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Maintain the unity of the what? Of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity is found in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Division is found in the flesh. Unity is found in the Spirit. And when the Spirit of God takes the lead, we are able to move in a diverse body in unity. It's also showing us that, yes, Jesus Christ is the head of the church, But the Holy Spirit is the one moving within the church and driving the activities of ministry within the church if we let him. In fact, the Holy Spirit not only drives the church based on Christ's direction, but the Holy Spirit distributes and deploys spiritual gifts within the church. If you continue to read in Ephesians 4, look at verse 7. It says this: "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." Talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he's distributing gifts to men. Now, if you'll go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, while both passages you see the leadership of the Holy Spirit, in both passages you see gifts given to the church, and in both passages you see the diversity of people groups that are supposed to be worshiping together and unified in the Spirit. So then what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12, the original passage? Well, we learned in verse 3, you can't say Jesus be cursed if you're led by the Holy Spirit. And you can only say Jesus is Lord if you are called by the Spirit of God to do so. And then it says in 4, 5, and 6, we have different kinds of gifts and different kinds of workings and different kinds of service. Now you get to verse 7, and this is what it says. "Now to each of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." So the gifts that you have are given for the common good of the body of Christ. Whether you sing, whether you dance, whether you act, whether you're an administrator, whether you're a leader, regardless of what talents and gifts you have, those gifts have been distributed by God to the church into your life for the common good of the body. They weren't given to you for you alone. They were given to you so they would be deployed to help edify the body of Christ. Again, this is spirit talk, because flesh talk says, "I got myself this job, I got myself this degree, I got myself this health, I got myself this workout, all these things I got myself." But that's the flesh man. The spirit man says, "But God has allowed me to do that. He gave me the intellect to get a degree. He gave me the strength to walk on my own two feet. He's the one that did it. And because he did it, I'm going to use it for the kingdom of God. I'm going to use it for the glory of God. I'm not going to use it just to talk about how great I am. That's flesh man. But spirit man says you come into the community of the body and you say, "What can I offer? What can I sacrifice? What can I give to help advance the kingdom of God, to help move the kingdom of God forward?" Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. We'll end with verse 11. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one how? Just as he determines. Now, friends, it's important for us to understand this context and this foundation before I move into the next part of my message. And so far, what we've learned is that the Holy Spirit's leadership within the church is absolutely critical, especially because of the diversity of the people that God calls together, and then he gives gifts. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and the Holy Spirit is the driver of the church if we let him. The Holy Spirit distributes and deploys spiritual gifts for the common good to help edify the body of Christ. Are you still with me? Okay. Can I go further? Can I go deeper? All right, since you said so, and since the foundation has been set for our understanding, we see the Holy Spirit's leadership Now I can talk to you about the Holy Spirit's language. See, the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and the Holy Spirit speaks through us. The Holy Spirit also speaks for us when we cannot speak to God in the limitations of human language. Have you ever tried to say something and you just couldn't seem to get the words out? And then somebody helped you because you're saying, what is that word I'm looking for? What is that word I'm looking for? What is it? And then someone steps in and they say it for you. You're like, that's the one. That's the one. Well, in a sense, the Spirit of God is like that. We're trying to talk to God and we just can't seem to find the words. And we see this idea supported in the New Testament, but it's most clearly written about in Romans chapter 8. So I want you to turn there with me. And we'll look at verses 22 through 27. Because this now talks about the Spirit's language. And it talks about how the Spirit serves you and me in an amazing way. And friends, if you get a hold of this, this may actually change the way you pray and change the way your faith is activated. Picking it up at verse 22, Romans 8, 22. We know that the whole creation has been, what's the word? Groaning as in pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Verse 23, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, here's the word, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Jump down to verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot express. It says in verse 22 that the whole earth is groaning. So when you see the earthquakes and the volcanoes and the stress on the ecosystem, that is the world, the earth, the cosmos, groaning for the return of Christ because there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And it says then in verse 23, even your body inwardly, when you feel those aches and those pains, and when you begin to hear those reports and see what Tekla was talking about earlier, that there's something going on in your ovaries or in your breast or in your brain or some kind of stroke or things that are going on in your physical body, that is your body groaning for your new body, which will be a glorified body, which will never have any sickness or pain. And so there's a groaning taking place because in a fallen world with fallen bodies, we are groaning for the return of Christ, which will take us back to that original state in the Garden of Eden before sin. It says in verse 26, the Spirit also then helps us in our weakness when we do not know what we ought to pray. And it says that the Spirit intercedes, which means prays for us, with groans that words cannot express. Two times that the Holy Spirit prays for us. One, when we don't know what we ought to pray. You ever been in that situation? I don't know what I'm supposed to pray. Am I supposed to pray that the marriage works? Or am I supposed to pray that the marriage is over? Am I supposed to pray about taking this job? Receiving this contract? Bidding for this? Or am I supposed to pray to bid for that? Lord, am I supposed to pray to take me home? Or like Hezekiah, give me another 15 years on the earth. Am I supposed to pray for my loved one, my mother or my father, who are so old and just want to be with their loved ones in heaven? Would I pray that they stay here on these machines and miraculously turn around? When I don't know what I ought to pray, the Holy Spirit can pray for you. It's a practical application. Holy Spirit, would you pray the right thing for me? Because I don't know the will of God in this one. I know my will. My will is I want to be married. I want to have kids. I want to work in this field. I want to move to this town. I want to live in this kind of zip code. But what's your will? And I'm not sure if I want to pray your will. Because last time Jesus was praying, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he got crucified. I don't want to be crucified. So my flesh doesn't want your will all the time. My flesh wants my will. My will keeps me off of a cross. My will keeps me from being arrested. My will keeps me from suffering. My will keeps me from having to do something for all those people who've done nothing for me. My will is not to forgive. My will is not to be kind. My will is not to give up my resources. My will is not to give up my control. My will is not to surrender. So I need your help right now, God, because my will and your will don't seem to be lining up, and I'm hoping that your will line up with my will, and I'm so confused and contaminated. I have so much intention one way, but my motives have ulterior thoughts another way. I don't even know how I'm supposed to pray, and it says right there in verse 26, so he prays when you don't pray as you ought. Anybody not pray as they ought, but pray as they want it? Holy Spirit helps you there. Holy Spirit helps you. Lord, they're saying they want this. But the deeper cry of their heart is this. They say they really want to be married. They say they really want to have kids. But Holy Spirit, you know what's best for them. So I'm going to go ahead and edit that prayer to put it in line with your will. He not only prays when you don't know what to pray, he prays when you don't know what to say. When you don't know what to say, when you can't seem to get the words out. Have you ever been in that situation? You just can't get the words out. You just can't seem to find the words in a sense. Our hearts cry out to God in prayer, but we can't find the words. Like someone was telling me about a loved one who had a stroke. They think the word and they're trying to say the word, but it's just so laborious and they can't quite get the words out. And it's very frustrating. Someone else was sharing with me about a loved one who has a dementia. And they think the word and they just can't seem to get the words out. And in a sense, spiritually, some of us are in that place where, like someone who has a stroke or someone who has dementia, we know what we want to say, we just can't get the words out. And the reality is human linguistics are too limiting to formulate what our soul is trying to communicate. I think this is why music is so deep. Music can move into the crevices of our soul in ways human words cannot. Likewise, when we are weak and we cannot use words, sometimes all we can do is moan, groan, cry, hum. Well, there's a deeper place inside of your spirit where you just cannot find the words to pray. There are no more words. There's no more language. You have no more strength. You have no more tears. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because he can take the cries of your heart and he can translate your deepest groans to God the Father. The Holy Spirit can pray for you. The Holy Spirit can pray in you. The Holy Spirit can pray with you. And when you are weak, the Holy Spirit can be strong for you. He can comfort your heart when it is broken. He can intercede on your behalf when you cannot ask God for help yourself. And some of you know what I'm talking about because you've been in a place you can't even talk to God anymore. Your emotions are raw. You have no more tears to cry. You're so frustrated. You're so angry. You're so upset. And then you feel so defeated. And this is when the Holy Spirit can come in when you're weak. And he can intercede on your behalf when you can't ask God yourself. He can cry out in a language that you haven't learned nor can understand. You can ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. There are some denominations in faith, even like my Catholic brothers and sisters, they ask for Mary to pray for them. They ask for the saints to pray for them. But friends, who better to ask to pray for you than the Holy Spirit? Ask him. Make that a practical application. God, I'm praying for this, but I ask that your Holy Spirit would pray for this. Some people believe that speaking in tongues is a prayer language. And it's a heavenly language that makes no sense to unbelievers. But it takes you to a place in prayer that God knows. And listen, the devil may not know anything about that prayer language. But the devil may know English, Spanish, Korean, Urdu, French, Zulu. But the devil cannot decipher the heavenly language between you and God when you are speaking in an unknown tongue. It is heavenly classified material. It's an open line that's classified between you and God. It's encrypted. It's divine. I cannot teach it. I cannot understand it. But only you and God know when the connection has been made. And it may be different for everyone. It may be an utterance under your breath that vibrates from your belly. It may be a hum in your spirit. It may be a cry in your soul, but it's personal and it's intimate in the bedroom of your spirit that is not to be shared or platformed in public. It's special. It's strategic. It's precise. It's personal. It's intimate. It's unintelligible. It's something that you can't really share with others. And the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of gifts, gives to men this gift. And every Christian may not have the gift of speaking in tongues, nor is there anywhere in the Bible that says everyone must. But for those who are able to enter into that place, it's special. It should not be used to show off. It should not be used to divide churches. And at Bridgeway, we do not ever want to quench the Holy Spirit. But we also do not want a house of disorder and division or confusion. So as your pastor, I've set up our house in such a way that all people can worship the Lord. But we've just chosen not to platform speaking in tongues. Whether you speak in tongues or not, it's fine. We just don't platform it. Because it can cause confusion. Go ahead if God's given it to you. This means that you're allowed to speak in tongues here if you have that gift. But we're just not putting it on stage in a way that encourages it publicly because we don't want confusion or division. Having said this, there's a time when someone is speaking out loud here in the body in an unknown tongue. If that's going to happen, 1 Corinthians 14 gives us the guidelines for it. It must be done in decency and in order, and you must have an interpreter. Amen. And if you don't do that, then it just causes unbelievers and believers alike to be confused because they don't know what you're saying. So you're edifying yourself, but you're not edifying the body. But the Holy Spirit gives us the gifts to edify the body. So if you speak in tongues, do that in the privacy of your closet. You can even do that in the time of worship, but we just don't platform it so we don't cause division and confusion. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't want to quench the Spirit. But in the house, we want to make sure that everything is done in decency and in order. And because there's been so much division in the body of Christ over this gift, we want to create an environment for freedom. where you can worship regardless of whether you exercise this gift or not. And I should probably tell you just theologically where I am. I do not believe that the gift of tongues have been stilled yet. As some may believe, based on 1 Corinthians 13:8, which basically says prophecies will cease, tongues will be stilled, and knowledge will pass away. I just don't believe that that time has come yet. One day, when the great lover of our souls come back, prophecies and tongues and all that knowledge, we won't need it. But for now, in the time of the Spirit, when we see various movements of God, I believe that people still have that gift. And I also believe that in the time of the Spirit, that the expressions of the Spirit of God are going to grow and manifest on the face of the earth. And as the world gets more crazy, the church of Jesus Christ, when led by the Holy Spirit, is going to be like a city set on a hill. The world's going to be turning to the church saying, it's a recession out here, but it's not a recession in here. Banks are failing out there, but it ain't failing in here. Just because there are things going on in the earth, it doesn't mean that it has to affect us in a way that it takes away our faith. It only strengthens our faith. God shows up in a mess with a message that draws people toward him. Every bad situation that happens in the earth, let's say yes, but God is still in control. Do you know him? Because if you know him, he can give you a peace that passes understanding. It will still be well with your soul, regardless of what's going on the earth. But you can't have that peace in your soul unless you have the Holy Spirit inside of you connecting the peace of Jesus with the peace of God. This is why Jesus says, it's my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. What does all this mean? We've learned about the Spirit's leadership. We've learned about the Spirit's language. He can speak to us, through us, and even for us. I want to conclude talking to you about the Spirit living in us. Acts 17:28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being. At the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 2:7, it says that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and what? Breathed in his nostrils. The what? The breath of life. And the man became what? A living being. In Ezekiel 37, about the dry bones, you know that story? It says in verse 5 of Ezekiel 37, I will breathe, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. In verse 6, I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Verse 9, then he said, prophesy to the breath. Verse 10, so I prophesied, and he commanded me, as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Verse 14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. You see, the Spirit of God is the breath of life. And when we breathe, we cannot see the air, but the air is necessary for our bodies to function. The air and the oxygen goes into every part of our body in order for every part of our body to exercise its gifts. And if oxygen doesn't get to that part of the body, you're not going to be able to exercise the function of that part of the body. And likewise, when we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe in our body as a church, every gift and every talent will have power and will have purpose. In fact, take a deep breath with me right now, even at home, would you? Come on. One more time. That breath renews life inside of you every time. And the Spirit of God is the breath, the oxygen that empowers every part of the body. But there's something else that goes throughout the body as well, like the oxygen, and that's the blood. The oxygen and the blood work together and are distributed to every part of the body. The blood of Christ is distributed throughout the body of Christ. And when you have the blood of Christ and the breath of the Holy Spirit working together through the veins of the body of Christ, there's nothing that the body cannot do. As I end, Christians, those of you at home, those of you at Owens Mills, Reisterstown, those of you here in Columbia, Maryland, you cannot live without the breath of life in you, the Holy Spirit. And you cannot live without the blood of Christ in your life. And remember that song, it says, "Great are you, Lord. It is your breath in my lungs." So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. There's another song that says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Now, I'm about to turn this over to the congregation in Owens Mills and the congregation here with the pastor, Jen, who's going to talk to you. But let me end by saying this. You have a cell phone and it loses its charge. What do? You plug it in to the wall. And that's what recharges it. Jesus is the great connector. But if you think that you can have a plug, a charger, and a phone, and that's going to be enough, then you're mistaken. You can plug it in, it still won't work because you need something called electricity. The Holy Spirit is the currency of power that fuels the relationship you have with God. Jesus is your connector, but the Holy Spirit is your currency of power. And you have a lot of Christians that have all the equipment, but they don't have the power. And we are a 5G church. In other words, if you don't have Wi-Fi, none of the equipment matters. But when you have Wi-Fi, you have the connection. And there's some churches that got one bar, some that got two bar. I'm telling you, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's flowing in this place, we are a 5G ministry. We have a five-fold ministry. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you connect, you got to move to a church, you got to move to a ministry where the bars are higher, because you can notice when your connection is greater, when the Spirit of God is moving. And somebody today needs to know that you have to be connected, not just to Jesus, not just God the Father, but to the Holy Spirit. So address him sometimes when you talk to him. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray for you. And right now, God, before I turn this over to Pastor Jen, and before I turn it over to Owens Mills, God, I pray for someone that needs this connection. Lord, they've accepted you, but they have literally ignored the power source of the Holy Spirit. And so, God, I pray for their healing. I pray that this word has opened up in their hearts something that they needed in order to live under your leadership, with your language, and with the life breath that you breathe in them and in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Together, everyone said amen and amen.